is good all the time. We're finding little ways to find joy in everything we're doing. The kids went down with Christine down to the Woodland Zoo in Seattle on Friday, and they went in and they let them out. I was shocked. We found the joy of having them home again and not in an exhibit. So good. He's just doing wonderful things, you know, encouraging hearts and building us up and just letting us be with him. He's delightful. A lot of movement still here. Hallelujah. I want to read to you from 1 Kings this morning. 1 Kings 3. And we're going to start at 5. First Kings 3, verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" What a dream, eh? And Solomon said, still in the dream, I would guess, "You have shown great mercy Verse 6. And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go in or how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all of your days." Hallelujah. Interesting dream, isn't it? What would you do with a dream like that? Would you have asked for wisdom? Or would you have asked for your mortgage to be paid? Your enemies to be thwarted? New car? Health? Solomon is king. He wasn't a child. He was a man at this point. And he'd taken over as king from his father David. But he asked for such a good thing. Wisdom. Understanding heart. It's a powerful thing. Now we, in our day, when I grew up anyway, when we used to want to gain knowledge about something, we would go to the library My kids don't know the library other than to get videos from that place. We'd go to the library and we'd look up the reference that we wanted on cards in a great big cabinet with lots and lots of other paper cards in it. And you'd file through the cards until you found the books you needed, and that would point you to a place in the library somewhere where the book you needed was. And you'd go find that book, or you'd go and you'd go to the reference section and you'd look up periodicals, and it all would be within this library area. And then Google came along and just kind of put all of that away. It's amazing how fast people moved away from referencing libraries and what libraries had to offer and started to look to Google for answers. And as Google became more and more important, as you're typing stuff in, and all of a sudden Siri is there. Have you had a serious relationship? Siri is the voice that comes with Apple. There are other voices, but let me just stay with Siri for now. And you can ask Siri anything. You don't have to go to the library anymore. Siri will answer you your query. And I was looking at some of the stuff that Siri answers, and I just wanted to run those by you just for a second, and we'll get back to Solomon. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Siri's answer is, I checked their calendars. They both have the same birthday. That sound like a politician? How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Siri's answer is, just because it could doesn't mean that it would. When you ask, where is Elvis Presley? Siri answers, my sources tell me Area 51, but that's classified. Siri also might answer to the same question, my sources say that he's left the building. One more. What's the meaning of life, Siri? And Siri answers, I can't answer that with a K. Like Immanuel Kant, you know, I can't answer that. Ha ha. I find it odd that you would ask an inanimate object the meaning of life. Yeah. And in that comes what I want to talk about today. We are quickly becoming, or have become, a society that is thinks we know everything. And if we don't, we want to quickly assess the facts as they're available to us, and those facts will become our judgment point. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because you notice what's happening in society. I love stepping back and looking at what's going on from kind of the bigger picture. And you'll notice that CNN, trusted news source, is making up facts, right? And publishing those made up facts as though they were the truth in order to get their agenda done. To get their agenda accomplished, and their agenda often is just more viewership, right? To be more well received, and then to rid the world of this scum that's in office, or you know, whatever you know they want to look at that way. But it's false news. That's a term that has been has been all over the place in the last couple of months. False news. Didn't used to be that you had to worry about that. The news was the news. We grew up in Canada, and the CBC was always kind of even-handed about things, and like the BBC before it, and would look at things kind of objectively. But now they don't. They have agenda, and they have a purpose. And so even when we look at facts, we have to come down on one side or the other. Where does that leave us? Because that leaves us in a shaky place. Because what if we make the wrong decision? Now, Solomon was in a position like that. Solomon was faced with, you know, he asked here for a discerning heart so that he might work with the people. You notice that God spoke to him in dream. Isn't that beautiful? He overcomes our intelligence. He like bypasses all of our ability to ask questions for us to discern, for us to weigh the truth this way or that way. He overrides all of that and goes right to the heart with a dream. And with this dream, he gets to the heart of Solomon. But he does that for each of us. Are you paying attention to your dreams? Are you writing your dreams down? They're God talking to you. Don't toss them off as if, well, they were just a nightly entertainment, you know, and kept me busy through the night. It's not about that. It's about him speaking to his people in a way where he can get directly to the heart of the matter, so to speak. And it's so beautiful. He did that with Solomon in a delightful way. And there are dreams throughout the Bible. Brendan, our friend from Ireland, has started a book on just the dreams of the Bible. You know, we have the dream guys come from Australia and help us interpret dreams and help us to see what God wanted to talk to us about in dreams. And it's wonderful. It's a whole world that is opening up to us. There are more books now on dream interpretation and how to process dreams than I have ever seen. There's a whole section of it if you go to just on dream interpretation, both Christian and New Age. Right? Because they're picking it up too, you know? Like they just don't have relationship with the dream giver. They want to interpret it from their intelligence rather than through the God that gave it to us, right? So it's God speaking to us. And often what we want to do is become so proficient in dream interpretation. You know, we read all the books and we do all that stuff. Well, this means that and that means that. And therefore, what's coming out of this thing is this. And what we need to do always is, it's good to know what the symbology of it all is. And what those things mean, what the numbers mean, and what the colors mean, all that kind of stuff. But then we take it back to God in proper dream interpretation and say, this is what we're getting, Lord. Is it close to what you want? And allow him to be a part of it again. Because it's him that's talking to us. And if we're missing that point, then we can miss the point of the dream very quickly. Anyway, so Solomon, he made this request. God's offer to him was so huge. And he does that kind of thing. More than you can think or imagine, he wants to give to us. And he wants us to ask him for it. Now we look at God has wanted people to have wisdom right from the beginning, right? Adam and Eve were in the garden. There were two trees in the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. Tree of life is a picture of Jesus. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is what they were tempted toward. It's that wisdom. If I can know good from evil, then I will have all of the wisdom in the world. I will have all of that. And they were offered that because it was a tree in the garden. God's hope and plan was that we would have wisdom. We know what happened with Adam and Eve. And they, without entering into this thing with God, doing it through temptation on their own, of their own resources, of their own decision, of their own will, they decided to do something to gain the knowledge of good and evil. Given a fact, did God say? You know, they were presented with a fact, and that fact they turned just a little with the help of Satan. And they did something that they were invited to be a part of with God on their own. Now watch the way mankind is going. Our decisions are our own decisions. We're going our own way. Give us the facts, we'll make the decision. And that's where the world is getting to. So Adam and Eve left us in this place where we have this knowledge of good and evil. And so Solomon understood that truth because his daddy David had trained him in all of that. And he, with wisdom, didn't treat God like he was a genie and didn't say to God, let me win the lottery or give me all of the beautiful women in the world. He later did that of his own accord. And we can see where that led him, but we'll talk about that in a minute, I think. But Solomon, with wisdom, thought, what does God want out of this thing? Like, there's a reason every time God's talking to us. It's not to test our knowledge. It's not to test if we know the facts and how we're moving with it. He's wanting to do something with us. He's wanting to upgrade us. He's wanting to exchange something for us. He's wanting to take something that we have that isn't doing us any good and exchanging it for something that will do us good. And so he engages us. Now, Solomon had grown up at his daddy's feet, and his daddy had taught him well. You see that in the beginning of Proverbs, that he talks about, you know, you taught me well. But wisdom, as we see it in Proverbs, as we see it throughout the Bible, is a person. It's not a concept. It's like truth. What is truth? Truth is a person. Do you remember Jesus saying, I am the way and the truth and the life? Truth is a person. Unless we invite that person into what we're doing, into the equation, we do not get truth. We may find what is true, but truth must have a Jesus participation. And it's so vital that we do that. We make our decisions without that, and then we have to rely on the warranty or something, you know, like it's a man-made concept to cover the mistakes of man, and so we have to use that thing. You ask Jesus, and you usually bypass warranty periods because the thing lasts for way longer, or you know, he just does something to it, you know? And so wisdom, as it's referred to throughout Proverbs, is a person. And Proverbs refers to wisdom as a person. You know, gives it a it's personal pronoun as we move through Proverbs. So Solomon is asking for wisdom here. He's asking for Jesus to be his decision maker with him. As we look back, because Jesus just didn't appear at zero AD, you know. That isn't his first or his entrance into the world. He has existed since the beginning, right? And so he has been a part of everything. You can find him in every book in the Old Testament, every book, in one way or another. But he's wisdom to Solomon, who wrote most of the Proverbs, we think. So Solomon is asking for Jesus to be a part of all that he's doing. He asked God for wisdom, and you know that that's not a one-time thing. When God talked to the kings in Deuteronomy, he promised them that they would be able to know the difference between good and evil. But he said that there is the way to do it is in Deuteronomy. I just got to see my notes here somewhere. Deuteronomy 17. Verse 19 and 20. He told the kings, the potential kings of Israel, to spend time every day reading the law of God so that he may, and this is how it's quoted, learn to fear the Lord his God, diligently observing all the words of this law and these statutes, neither exalting himself above other members of the community, nor turning aside from the commandment. Deuteronomy 17, 19, and 20. In other words, the kings of Israel, in order to move in this knowledge of good and evil, this knowledge of wisdom, were to cultivate a relationship with God. And it's out of that that wisdom would flow. It wasn't out of knowing facts here or there. You know, did Trump contact Russia or not? What good is that going to help us in our daily life? You know, like we'll get the facts. Somebody will give us the facts. Somehow this all will work out. It has implications, and people are investigating it. But we're given facts by both sides, and we have to come to a decision on it. But if we come to a decision, you know it'll be wrong somewhere, unless we include Jesus in on it, unless we do the thing that the kings were invited to do, spend some time in the Word. You spend time with Siri, asking Siri questions, ask God those questions and see what happens. And so Solomon moved in great wisdom, and I want to talk about that, how he was known for great wisdom in just a second. But gradually he turned his attention away from God. He was no longer doing the things that God had called him to. He had developed a reputation. He was known as the man of wisdom, the king with all the wisdom. And so he didn't need to go to God humbly anymore. They say that once you develop a reputation as an early riser, you can sleep till noon and no one notices. The reputation will carry you. Solomon had a rep for wisdom. And so he started to do the things that God had said not to do. If you read just before that Deuteronomy passage that I was talking about, God said, do not marry or go after the women of the surrounding nations. Solomon took the politically correct route and married princesses and important women from the nations surrounding him so he wouldn't have to go to war with them. It was politically correct. And that political correctness, you know, anybody in their right mind would make that decision, right? But God said no. God said don't do it. But it makes so much sense, God. We have the facts. God said don't. So we look to God in all of this because we can see that Solomon, by doing that, came under the influence of all of those women and started to worship other gods, taking him away from the God that gave everything to him, the God that supplied everything to him, and moving in ways that God specifically forbade. Started worshiping on high places, started building Asherah poles, started doing all of the stuff that God said not to do because of the influence from the world around him. Look at the church today. Not our church, I mean. But the big church, the worldwide church, we are making decisions that are based on political correctness. The pressure and the influence of the world is overtaking all that the church should be. And we're forgetting to bring God into the equation with us. And it's so sad what's happening. So Solomon's downfall came from all of that. And what do we learn through that? Well, let's look at Solomon. You probably all know the story, but let me just reiterate it. Early on in his kingship, he was sitting in the judgment seat, and they brought before him two women with one baby. And he heard the sad, sad story. They both had babies about the same time, same day. And one of them had rolled over and killed their baby during the night. Such a sad story. Break your heart kind of thing. And so one woman said, like took the baby from the one that was still alive and said that it was her baby, that the other woman had killed the baby. And the woman whose baby was stolen said, no, I'd know my baby anywhere. She's holding my baby. And so Solomon's looking at these two women who both have legitimate claims on this one child. To make the decision, he's going to have to decide subjectively one way or the other. It's your baby or it's your baby. But instead, he relies on that Jesus factor and moves in such wisdom that it astounded everyone, still astounds people today, at the brilliance of his answer. But it sounds, when in the room, they must have thought he'd lost his nut. This guy's off his meds. He said, bring me a sword. I'm going to divide the baby in two, and then each can have a half. And, of course, the mother whose baby it was said, oh, no, give the baby to the other woman. And that woman said, oh, go ahead and cut it in two, because it wasn't her baby. Solomon had his answer. the mother who wanted the baby to live was the real mother. Brilliant. Brilliant. Because there was a God factor. He came up with a different way to deal with the facts. Two sets of facts, both using the same circumstances. But one had a truth to it because God was in it. And it's so important that we do that in everything we're doing. Invite God to be a part of it. So what do we learn from Solomon? Solomon started well, but did not finish well. We want to finish well. What Solomon had at the beginning was relationship with God. His dad had a relationship with God like none other. And he coached him in that. And he started well with that. But then the political pressures and the busyness. Can you imagine having multiple wives and concubines, and you know you have to go to so-and-so's birthday party, and you have to, you know, you take the kids to the zoo, and you have to, you know, do all of this stuff. Never mind his kingly duties. He would have been overwhelmed by the amount of tasks that he had to do. There's no time to be with your God, right? I am too busy. I can't fit that into my day. Have you heard that before? In the morning when you're trying to whittle out 10 minutes for God? Oh, I'm just too busy. I can't do that. That's what's whispered in your ear, and you start to believe it. And so it's too busy. And then the pressures of political correctness, you know, what the world around you wants you to do. And what everyone else is whispering to you, you've got to do it this way. Well, you're a fool if you don't. Well, who wants to be a fool? And so we start to make decisions without any God factor, without any relationship with God, without bringing him into the equation at all, because there's no time. And he gave me wisdom anyway. And so I'm going to go ahead and move in the way that I think it should be. He'll understand my heart. He knows that I don't mean anything bad. Did he understand Adam and Eve's heart? He did, and he still put them out of the garden. Because there's consequences to every decision we make. There are consequences, and we just don't bring that into the equation. But if we bring God into the equation, watch the consequences change. It's an amazing thing. So, develop that relationship. Know what God is saying. The most authoritative and respectable place to hear what God is saying is in his word. He speaks through many other ways. We talked about dreams. There's visions, and you can hear him in the voices of Christians and non-Christians. You can hear the voice of God. He can bring circumstances across your path. He can do all kinds of things to speak to you, but the best way is still the first way, the Word of God. Pick it up every day. Spend a little time in it and watch how he uses what it is that you read through your day. It's an amazingly wonderful thing. And then include him in your day. Talk to him. Let your neighbors think you're nuts. Walk around, tell them you're talking to yourself if you want. It's okay. There's lots of others around like that. They're talking to their phone, or they've got a they've got their headpiece on, or, you know, like nobody knows anymore. So it's, you'll just be one of the hip people if you're walking around talking. But you can be praying. just having a conversation with God, just bringing him in on whatever it was that you you wanted to ask. And ask him. Talk to him. We call it prayer. First wireless communication on earth. And start to bring him into everything that you're doing. Because then you will add wisdom, the presence of Jesus to all that we're doing. Then the facts will fall into line, and it won't matter so much that you know the facts and all the facts. You will know the truth, because the truth is a person. And the truth will guide you through. And so the flesh wants to know the facts, but your spirit wants to know the truth. With the facts, you will find out what is true, but with your spirit, you will find out what is truth and who is truth. And so Solomon has a wonderful picture for us this morning. We can all be led astray. Like the wisest man on earth ever, the Bible refers to him as, was led astray by the pressures of the world around him. If he can, we all can. The antidote to that is Jesus time. Time with the Lord. Hallelujah. Is Reese still around? He's downstairs, or he's okay? Yeah, that would be great if he could come up and we could respond with a little bit of song. Would that be okay? Yeah, Reese did such a lovely job this morning. Such a heart to worship the King. Hallelujah! And Ron and Bonnie, thank you for being a part of that. Would you play? Have you got another song up your sleeve? Oh, you have no sleeves. Oh. While he's getting ready, I'll tell you a joke. there was this... I shouldn't tell it? Oh. It's funny. Save it. Okay, I will. Reese, would you...